Amen. Well, Lord, would you pray today that you take your word and, Lord, thank you that, Lord, your truth. Truth sets us free. So, Lord, I pray that just the truth of your word would come forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Love that gospel reading out of John. And I like that part of the judgment of the Holy Spirit is the judgment against the enemy, that he's already been judged. A little bit about what we're going to talk about today. In Colossians chapter 2, just read some scripture familiar to us. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete. He is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And having been buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. And having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, nailed it to the cross. And when he had disarmed the rulers and authority, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. That last scripture there is so cool, you know. All of it's talking about what happened at the cross, our completeness, you know, everything that Jesus did. And I think one thing that the Lord has given us greater revelation of here of what happened to the enemy at the cross. Because again, I know in my life, and you know, Bishop and I talk a lot about this, as believers, we just give him way too much credit, you know. And when this scripture here, when he had disarmed him, that word means like to strip, being stripped, something just stripped off of you, like you stripped a garment off. Like you completely take it off of somebody, that he did not, he disarmed, he completely stripped him. And once he did that, it said he made a public display of him, which means to humiliate. So he stripped him of his power, humiliated him, and then that word triumph is where, again, you've heard me say this, is when they would, you know, triumph over the enemy and the in this Roman culture, they would hold up the enemy and shamefully display him, marching him around, that he's defeated. Or they would bring him behind in chains, to everything to humiliate that leader. And that's what happened at the cross. Jesus stripped him of his power, humiliated him, and triumphed over him. Embarrassed him. That's all going on in the spirit realm that people didn't see. That happened at the cross. Okay? Now, jumping over into 1 John. And again, you've heard us say that. That's about the only thing he has left is to lie to us. 1 John chapter 5. Again, familiar verses. Whatever is born of God has overcome the world, or the ruler of the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. All right? The victory lies in your faith. In other words, believing it. Right? Victory lies at the point of how much you believe, how victorious you think Jesus actually was. Amen. Right? And our faith puts that into action. Now, if we really believe that he was disarmed, stripped, humiliated of everything, and he has absolutely nothing in us because he has nothing in Jesus, then our faith not just activates that, but it frees us. You follow me? So whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one that overcomes the world? If you believe in Jesus, right? all that he did. But anyway, putting all this together, I was reading down toward the end of this chapter, and there's some things that are a little confusing. I'm still not sure about the sin leading to death and all that kind of stuff. But in verse 18, it says, "We know that no one who is born of God sins." And he's repeating what he said in chapter 3, that no one who is born of God, little children, make sure that no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. And the one who practices sin or lives in the lifestyle of sin is of the devil. The devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God has appeared for this purpose, that he to destroy the works of the devil. Okay? So he appeared, again, like we said and read in Colossians, he came to absolutely destroy the works of the devil. Okay? He destroyed him by disarming him, stripping him, humiliating him. Okay? No one who is born of God, it says, practices sin or just continue to live that lifestyle, because now the seed of God, the Holy Spirit, now abides in that person. And he can't, because he's born again. I mean, you can't, he's just using this analogy, you can't, because now God himself lives within you. All right? And you just don't want to do that anymore. This is how, and he was trying to say to these people, because there was just this heresy of, you know, kind of the, what we have today, Gnosticism, or, you know, just almost a hyper grace thing. But he's saying, you don't want to live that way. And you don't have to, because now God, his seed, his, the Holy Spirit, now lives within you. Right? The righteous one. Everything that he did, it dwells within you now. And you're just not going to practice that lifestyle anymore. And he said, therefore, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Right? Not that you're perfect. Not that you don't stumble. Right? But your heart now, because he lives within you, is to live righteously. Okay? So no one who is born of God practices it, because he can't. Because his seed abides him. All right, now in chapter 5, think about that same seed, the Holy Spirit, everything that happened on the cross, now dwelling in you. Okay? Then he says in 18, we know that no one who is born of God sins. He's been talking about that. Or lives in a lifestyle of habitual sinning. He can't. And he who is born of God, it says this, he who is born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. And I thought, you know, I just had this, I felt like the Lord told me, just go look at this particular scripture, you know, look it up in the Greek, you know, to see what these translations, which I like to do anyway. But it reads almost like that Jesus keeps you, which he does. But that's not really the way it's written. Here's the way it's written. This is the exact translation. The one you, having been begotten of God, protects himself, and the evil one does not touch him. Okay? Like the one who is born of God, born again, you, protect yourself, and the evil one does not touch him. Okay? Because we get this sense of, even though we know we're in Christ, and we know that being in him, it's like the evil one can't touch you. But that word keep means to observe, to believe in, to believe that, right? That if you believe what we talked about, that this is the victory that has overcome the world, believing what Jesus did to the enemy, where he disarmed him, we talked about that, he disarmed him, he stripped him, he humiliated him, and he triumphed over, and set him up, you know, like a Caesar would, or a Roman general, portraying him around, dragging him behind as defeated to further humiliate him. Okay? Right? And this is the victory that's overcome the world, that you believe that. That he has nothing in you. And that you protect, you're protected, and you protect yourself on a daily basis by believing that he is that much defeated. And you're not giving him any, you're not giving him a foothold at all. Right? Because the open door to the enemy is lies, where you open the door and you're believing something that's not true. That's the only power he has against you. So you protect yourself from that by believing everything that's already happened. Your faith. That's your victory. Wait a minute. You have nothing in me. You've been defeated. You have no power. Your authority has been stripped. Even your weapons have been taken away from you. He didn't have a squirt gun. All he can do is intimidate and lie. See how that scripture that he used, that same thing, that he who's born of God, you know, you can't practice. And he's saying this, and I'm going to put this in my word. And he who is born of God can't give in to the devil. Because he's been totally defeated. And that lives in you now. And you protect yourself by not giving in to it. See, there's a difference in that. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I understand that I'm in Christ and God's, he's a shield about me. He protects me, right? But if I'm just thinking of that God's protecting me and I'm kind of, it can make you kind of fearful, you know? But if you understand that you're protecting, not that you're protecting yourself, but you're standing in and something's rising up in you of victory, right? That you already are victorious over this. You're walking in just such authority and victory. Just like you can't give in to sin, well, you can't give in to the devil in the same way. Because that dwells in you. See what I mean? I'm like, I don't have to give in to this. I don't have to think, oh my God, this is your... He is, of course he is. You're in Christ, you know? You're victorious. Just believe it. In a real sense, you can't give into it because you're so victorious. Isn't that cool? And we know that the Son of God has come and he's given us understanding that we will know him who is true, and we are in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ, the true God and eternal life. Little children, guard yourself from idols, right? Guard yourself from the idol of making him too big. Right? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.